The parish of Ekev is the parish of Eretz Yisrael. Because in that, in the parish of Ekev, it doesn't only say that we're going to Eretz Yisrael, or that there are mitzvot that we do in Eretz Yisrael that we don't do anywhere else, where it says, which it says again and again in the book of Devarim, but also in the book of Bamidbar. But there's something that it says in the book of Devarim, here in the parasha of Ekev, that is quite remarkable and noteworthy. If you look at the text at the top of the page, Ushmartem et kol ha-mitzvah, asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. Okay, that's a common thread in Devarim. Do the right thing, don't do the wrong thing. Okay. Leman techezku v'atem v'yirishtem et ha'aretz, asher etem ovrim shama l'rishta. So you have to keep the mitzvot. It's not clear whether it means keep the mitzvot before you go to Eretz Yisrael, in order that you should come to Eretz Yisrael, or keep the mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael so that you should stay in Eretz Yisrael. But there's a connection, obviously, between doing the mitzvot and Eretz Yisrael. Leman tarichu yamim al ha'adama shenishba Hashem l'avotechem latet lahem ulezaram Eretz zavat chalav udvash. Now, at this time, when Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Bnei Yisrael this story, that they should maintain the mitzvot in order to stay in Eretz Yisrael, there's some kind of connection, they must have wondered to themselves. You mean a nation that could build the golden calf, and a nation that could reject Eretz Yisrael? I mean, we'll probably do it again. It's like a genetic fault. That's how we are. We're not exactly the way we should be. And if you could build the golden calf after Matan Torah, after the Torah was given, so I mean, how bad could you be? How much more bad could anybody be? So you don't get reformed. Doesn't just change. So here Moshe Rabbeinu is going to give them the key. The key to life in Eretz Yisrael, here in the Torah. Pasuk Yud. Ki ha'aretz, asher ata ba'shama l'rishta, lo ke'eretz Mitzrayim hi. And this is perhaps also the secret of Yitziat Mitzrayim, why the Jews had to be there for hundreds of years, right? 210 years in slavery, before they went to Eretz Yisrael. It says it right in the Pasuk. Ki ha'aretz asher ata ba'shama l'rishta, lo ke'eretz Mitzrayim hi. Asher yetzata misham, atzer tizra et zaracha, vishkita beraglecha, kegan hayarak. It was in Mitzrayim. Everything is a cinch. Or at least life. The assurance that you'll have something to eat in Mitzrayim is clear. It's obvious because there's water. All you have to do is kick a kind of a furrow in the ground, and the water will get from wherever it is to the tomato that you've planted. So that in Mitzrayim, it's kind of up to you. It's not up to God. At least that's the way you feel in Mitzrayim. You feel that here's the water, here's the arable land. If I plant the tomatoes and I make a furrow that brings the water to the tomatoes, all is well. It's up to me. It's up to me. There's no divine intervention. Ha'aretz asher atem ovrim shama l'rishta, eretz harim ubika'ot. Harim ubika'ot means that even if there's water, like today in Eretz Yisrael, it's not easy to transport that water from wherever it is to wherever you are. Right? So you know that the Movil Ha'artzi is kind of a miracle because it brings water from over there to over here, which is very far away. But before the Movil Ha'artzi, before they made this tremendous system of pipes, it was not so easy. If you wanted to be a farmer, you had to be a farmer where the water was. And if you wanted to drink water, you had to be near where the water was being collected. Water in Eretz Yisrael is an issue. And everybody knows. Everybody knows that we daven for rain because we're not certain, right? Comes long Sukkot, and we start getting nervous about the water in the winter because we need the water for agriculture. So we daven for water. And we also, in the summer, we daven for a lack of water. We want stability in order that we could develop agriculture and life. We have what to eat here in Eretz Yisrael. So that's Ha'aretz Asher Etem Ovrim Shama L'Rishta, Eretz Harim Uvka'ot L'Mtar Shamayim Tishte Mayim. And then the end is this pasuk, which is absolutely remarkable. Not that it's unknown, but it's certainly a remarkable thing that the Torah says, Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Ota Tamid. And so this water business comes from the rain. Like you need water, so the water comes from the rain. The rain comes from God. I mean, we have, even today, no way of making rain. I mean, it's true you can put some dried ice on some clouds and get something, but it's not good enough. It's not, even today, drought is drought. Drought is a terrible thing. There's a drought now, some kind of a drought in South, Middle United States of America, which is, in all the newspapers, because it's a tragedy. Today, I mean, they can't bring water to places where there's no water. It's got to rain. And if it doesn't rain, it's tragic. So look at what the pasuk says. Eretz asher atshev elokecha doresh ota tamid. Doresh ota tamid means God's looking at it. And what does that mean, probably? It means God is evaluating. Do we deserve the rain? Or don't we deserve the rain? That's Doresh Ota Tamid, in the way of heaven. Not that God is looking to see how many inches of rain there were last year, or how high the lower line of danger in the Kinneret is. I think they move that line every year. But that is looking at us. Doresh Ota Tamid means the population in Eretz Yisrael. And then the pasuk says the same thing in a different way. Right? And what does the pasuk say? Einei Hashem Elokecha Va. You imagine that? I mean, let's ignore the fact that it's a problem of anthropomorphism, right, which we don't like, because we're all students of the Rambam. And the Rambam told us there's no such thing. And when the Torah says something that sounds anthropomorphic, what you have to do is kind of make a homily out of it, or a medrash. It's not serious. And yet, we go back and we say to the Rambam, and the Rambam agrees, that the use of the homily is nonetheless interesting. All of a sudden, God has eyes. Right? Why does God have eyes in this story? Okay, Doresh Ota Tamid means God is interested in he looks into it. Though that's Doresh Ota Tamid. But why does the Torah have to say Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba? Mereshit Hashana Ad Sof Hashana. Okay? You can look at Rashi. Rashi in Pasuk Yud Bet. We don't have time to do all of this, but all this Rashi is very interesting, so I leave it with you. But in Pasuk Yud Bet, Rashi says, four lines from the bottom of the Rashi, Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Ota, V'halo Av Kol Aratzotu Doresh. Here Rashi is Chazal are very liberal, and they say, what, do you think God is only looking at us? God's looking at everybody, all the nations of the world. Shneemar lahamtir al eretz lo ish. Ela kivyachol, Eino Deresh Elota Kiviachol. It appears to us, we imagine, that God is only interested in us in Eretz Yisrael. Vayidei Ota Drisha Shedorsha Doresh Et Kol Ha'aratzot Ima. So this is like a well-known Kabbalistic idea, which appears in different ways in the Kabbalah, that divine munificence goes from heaven to Eretz Yisrael. And then from Eretz Yisrael it spreads out into the entire world, so that the judgment of how things will be in the world is first to Eretz Yisrael and then to the entire, world. That's an explanation of a different pasuk in the beginning of Ekev. V'chalta v'savata v'rachta. That's what it says. V'chalta v'savata v'rachta. That's where we know there's a mitzvah min haTorah to say Birkat HaMazon. But it says v'chalta v'savata v'rachta et Hashem Elokecha al ha'aretz ha'tova asher natan lach. That's what the pasuk says. So everybody asked the question, including the Zohar, what do you mean Eretz HaTova? You have to say Birkat HaMazon every place, not only in Eretz Yisrael. Right? So why does the pasuk say Al Ha'aretz HaTova? The answer of the Zohar is because bounty, sustenance, comes to the world through Eretz Yisrael. First to Eretz Yisrael, then spreads around into the entire world. So even when we're thanking God for the sandwich that we ate in Kosher Delight or Kosher Family or Kosher or whatever it is, we say, oh, you know this sandwich? It comes from Eretz Yisrael. Right? Good comes from Eretz Yisrael. That was the idea. That's how they explained that pasuk. So the mitzvah Birkat HaMazon min haTorah is wherever you happen to be. It's not connected to Eretz Yisrael. However, when you say Birkat HaMazon, you're supposed to remember Eretz Yisrael when you say Birkat HaMazon. So that's what Rashi says. Tamid einei Hashem Elokecha ba, right, the second part of the pasuk, lerot ma'itzricha ulechadesh la'gzerot. You know, God looks at Eretz Yisrael to see what the needs are. And then perhaps even there should be punishments for some reason. The Jews should be punished for not living up to the standard. Itim l'tova v'itim l'ra'a k'di'ita b'rosh hashana. So that's what Rashi says. So Rashi does not see in this pasuk a particularly important theological point. He just explains what the words are. But if you look at the Rashbam, the grandson of Rashi, who continued his general method of Parshanut, let's see what the Rashbam says. Kach shitat parshiot elu, that means I'm going to now explain to you how these parshiot work. Right, shita is something straight. Like I'm going to organize it for you. Organize the parshiyot, meaning what we just learned. Tzrichim atem lishmor et mitzvot Hashem Elokeichem. Right, that's pasuk chet. You see pasuk chet? Ushmartem et kol mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha hayom leman techezku v'atem v'yirshtem et ha'aretz asher atem ovrim sham l'rishta. So the shmartem et ha'mitzvot brings you to inheriting the land. So the Rashbam says, Ki ha'aretz hazot tova me'eretz Mitzrayim l'shomrei mitzvot. Because this land, the land of Eretz Yisrael, is better even than Mitzrayim for those who are shomrei mitzvot. Ve'ra'a mikol ha'aretzot Lelo Shomrim. And it's worse off than any of the lands, any land in the world, if you don't keep the mitzvot. So the idea here is, of course, if you don't want to keep mitzvot, you should go and live in Muncie. But if you want to keep mitzvot, you should live in Eretz Yisrael. That's the That's the idea of the Rashbam. Ki ha'aretz asher tabashama ein naka eretz Mitzrayim. The land that you're coming to inherit is not like Egypt. She'ein tzrichim lamatar. There, they don't need rain. Uvein tovim, uvein chata'im. B'torah hashka'atz dotehem, yesh lahem lech. In Egypt, the water is there, as we said before, and the land is there. All you have to do is bring the water to the land. And then you have sustenance. Aval Eretz Yisrael, im atem shomrim mitzvot, einei Hashem elokecha ba. If you keep the mitzvot, then God looks upon that land. Lashkota. Right? To water the land. B'mitar shamayim. Mereshit hashana v'adacharit hashana lateit matar be'et hatzorech. So God makes sure, if you keep the mitzvot, that you'll have enough water. And the water comes from the rain. V'yam shemor tishma'u. Im shamata b'yashan tishma b'chadash. Im shemor tishma'un. This is a further posuk, right back. He says, "Im shavat tishmeun et mitzvotai, im shavat tishmeun, im shamata b'yashan tishma b'chadash." If you listened last year, you'll listen this year. V'chein im shachach tishkach, hatchalat itchalta lishkoach, sovchash tishkach. So there are different psukim that, according to the Rashbam, refer to this matter. And you have to understand that giving up the Shmirah of Mitzvot is suicidal in Eretz Yisrael. Kach shnuya ba'agadat Shmuel Megillat Chasidim Matzu katuv im ta'azven yom yomai im ta'azveka. Mashal lishnaim shiyatsu, echad mitveri, echad mitzipori, both places in the north, in the Galil, say. Tveria is the lower Galil and Tzipori is a little bit further north and west. He says, "Pagu zeboze bechada meshkona v'yisichu ze emze parshu ze mize ze holech mil v'ze holech mil nimtza ze rachok mize shnei mili." So you just have to go a little bit. You have to move a little bit because God will also move a little bit. So you may think that you didn't do anything so terrible, but you'll end up, the punishment is that you'll get out of Eretz Yisrael. So here you are, the Ramban has the Rashbam has explained the order of the Psukim, including this idea that God is interested in us doing mitzvot, and in return, we get to live in Eretz Yisrael. So if you look at the second page, I just want to organize this here. So if you look at the second page, on top of this picture, what is this picture? Nova Tabula. Terra Sancta means the Holy Land. What this has to do with anything, basically? Anyway, if you look at the Gemara, Masechet Bava Batra, Tav Kuf Nun Chet Amud Bet. Amar Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira had something to say about something. When he came to Eretz Yisrael, he understood what the halacha was. So Rabbi Zeira said, Shma Mina, from this I learn, Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkim. Did you ever hear that? Yeah. Well, this is where it is in the Gemara. Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkim. The air makes you clever. There must be a lot of people in Israel who are not breathing. Avira Eretz Yisrael Machkim. What does the Rashbam say? You see, the Rashbam in this part of Bava Batra is instead of Rashi. There's no Rashi in the second two-thirds of Bava Batra, but it was finished by the Rashbam, who was a great finisher for Rashi. Omar Abizera. Shem Misha'aliti le'eretz Yisrael v'tati et libo latzeit mishitati harishona ולמוד על עמיתת הדברים. So what did Rabbi Zeira say? Oh, I used to be in Bavel, but I came on Aliyah. When I came on Aliyah, I realized that I was like I misunderstood something. Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkim. And therefore, I came to the conclusion that Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkim. So you know, this could be a kind of, what?
It's a solipsism.
Solipsism, right. It could be. It could be a, you know, something people say. They don't mean it. It just happens that Rav Zeira, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he understood something. It could be that if he got to Japan, he would have also understood something. So he said, Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkim. That's what Rabbi Zeira said. But Rabbi Nachman of Bratslev didn't look at it that way. If you look at the last page, there's a Torah of Rabbi Nachman of Bratslev, which we're not going to learn in its entirety, but the beginning will be enough to start us off. Rabbi Nachman says, Misha Yodea Me Eretz Yisrael. You know that that Rabbi Nachman came to Eretz Yisrael, and he made it to Tveria, and he saw the Hasidim who were there, and then he turned around and he left. This is, of course, because Rabbi Nachman was good at leaving mysteries as an inheritance. He was, and so you could try to, everybody here could have an opinion about why Rabbi Nachman did it. Why he did it, of course, means why did he go? And if he went, why did he come back? It's true that the Talmidim of the Maggid, of the great Maggid of Mizrich, divided up, right? Some of them went to Eretz Yisrael, and the Balatanya, who was maybe the greatest Talmid of the Maggid Mizrich, he made it to Istanbul. In Istanbul, he decided for some also unknown reason to go back to Russia, where he established what's called today Chabad, right? Chasidut Chabad. So this mystery, but Rav Nachman was the only one who went to Eretz Yisrael and went back from Eretz Yisrael. He was the only one. What? The Baal Shem Tov didn't go, unless you're talking about on a magic carpet. Maybe. I mean, magic carpets don't count. They only work in Harry Potter. Misha Yodea Me Eretz Yisrael. Says anyone who knows anything about Eretz Yisrael, of course, who's he talking about? Himself. I mean, he says, Misha Yodea Me Eretz Yisrael, meaning you better pay attention, since I'm the only one in that category. Like you're talking, this Hasidim in wherever it was, in Oman. Sheta'am ve'emet ta'am Eretz Yisrael. Right, someone who like, ta'am et ta'am. How long does it take with Om et ta'am? A minute. Right? So like, that was Rav Nachman of Bratslev. He went to Tzvas, and they went to Tveria, and that was Eretz Yisrael. He didn't go to Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim was under the control of anti-Hasidim. And so he figured that he shouldn't go there. So it was like in the country, in the Eretz Yisrael. See, one of the signs of peace is that the Hasidim of Tveria moved to Eretz Yisrael and lived. But of course, that was after, I think, Ger came to Eretz Yisrael. You know, like they're big Hasidic groups, like it's hard to wipe them out entirely. Hu yachol hakir ba'acher imu eitzel tzadik. Right, so that person who has the time of Eretz Yisrael is able to make this grand distinction. Is he a true tzaddik of Rosh Hashanah? Who's a true tzaddik of Rosh Hashanah? You may have heard that Rav Nachman gets a big turnout today in Uman on Rosh Hashanah. Right, what are they up to? About 25,000? No? I mean, some remarkable number that goes today. So that's called a tzaddik shel Rosh Hashanah. A righteous person who can make determinations. After all, what happens on Rosh Hashanah? The year is determined. The future is determined. Well, how's your year going to be? How's your future going to be? So you go to the tzaddik, and he gives you a little forward push. He helps you out. V'gam oto hatzadik hu gadol b'mala avkatan. He can tell. Someone who has a tam of Eretz Yisrael can tell about tzaddikim. Because you know that one of his things, Rav Nachman's things, was that not all tzaddikim are righteous. And some of them are bluffers. This has changed today, when all of them are bluffers, right? But this is Rav Nachman. He was very much concerned about the future of the tzaddikim. And he felt that Hasidus had lost its way, because in the beginning they were dependent upon great personalities, like the Baal Shem Tov, Rav Baruch Medjibush, this is his grandfather. But then somehow this whole thing came apart, and people started inheriting the mantle of the righteous. So of course, if you inherit the mantle of the righteous, you're not going to necessarily be righteous. So this is what he says. Bibu tzaddik, amiti olo, im hu ba'atzmo tzaddik, right? You lose the capacity. But if somebody's ta'am be'emet ta'am Eretz Yisrael, you can tell. You can tell who's real and who's an imposter, who's righteous and who is wicked, who's a tzaddik that can help you and who cannot help you. That's what Rav Nachman says. Ki, now where does he get that from? He says, Tam Eretz Yisrael lecholim litzayer lefi mi lefnei mishi yodea tam seichel. Tam Eretz Yisrael is connected to seichel. Ki rak mishi hu ish bur, only someone who's really ignorant, if shalom lidazot, ava mishi yodea mi seichel, kigon lomdim shemagishim ma'at tam haseichel, bipshat v'kasha, kederech alomdim. But someone who learns Gemara, and feels, and there's a kasha, and then there's a teretz, and the teretz is pleasing to him, right? So he understands that the seichel can make these kinds of distinctions. But people who are boors in English, and burim in Hebrew, but those people, they don't use seichel in order to make distinctions. They do it by smell, or they do it by instinct, but they don't do it by seichel. So people who use their seichel a lot, the Talmidei Chachamim, Yicholim lavin tam Eretz Yisrael, ki avio de Eretz Yisrael machkim. You get it? In other words, remember Rav Zeira, he came to Eretz Yisrael, and he said, oh, I changed my mind. In Babel I thought this was the halacha, but now I'm in Eretz Yisrael, I see that the halacha is different. That's the Rashbam. And what does it say? What did the Rashbam say? What did Rav Zeira say? He said, Tamo, Avira, the Eretz Yisrael, Machim. So Rabbi Nachman starts backwards. And he says, why is Avira, the Eretz Yisrael, Machim? Because, he says, after all, Machim, Seichel, smart, has to do with the Torah. And the Torah has to do with understanding. And the understanding, that understanding is called Akira, Avira de Eretz Yisrael. V'tam ha-chokhma v'as-seichel, the chokhma, the seichel, the wisdom, the cleverness, v'adaya karmaot, ach ikar ma'alat kudushat Eretz Yisrael, hurak al yedei hashgachat Hashem Yitbarach. U'machmach Hashem Yitbarach. You ready? In other words, he says, what gives you this power of distinction? Torah. Well, that's fine. What in the Torah? Asking a kasha and getting a teretz. That means clarifying things, clarifying the Torah. That gives you a wondrous feeling of understanding and knowledge. Okay? But what's that going to do with Eretz Yisrael, eh? What's it going to do with Eretz Yisrael? People learn Torah according to Rabbi Nachman. all over the world, wherever they were. What does that have to do with Eretz Yisrael? How does he make that connection? So he says, Umachamat, you see line 10? Machmat Shashem Yitbarach Mistakel Be'eretz Yisrael Tamid, which is our pasuk, the pasuk that we learned, Mistakel Be'eretz Yisrael Tamid, Kemo Shekatuv Tamid Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba, Bereshit Hashana Dachrit Hashana, Al Yidei Ze Eretz Yisrael Mikudeshet, Vavira Machkim, Ki Einayim, what does the word Einayim mean? Al Shem HaChochma, Ki hitpatchut ha-chokhma nekra bechinat einayim, that's chokhma, is eyes, kemo shekatuv, vatipatachna einei shnehem. That Adam and Chavna became pikchim. They understood things. The eyes understood. Right? And Rashi says, al-shem ha-chokhma ne'emar. So I would say, good look again, that what Rav Nachman of Bratslav is saying is yes. All the Torah and anything you learn in the Torah is machkim. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's even more machkim. Why is it more machkim in Eretz Yisrael than any place else? Because Einei Hashem Elokecha Batamid. It's like the rays. They're like X-rays coming from the divine eyes, so to speak, which enable you to gain greater chokhmah. So Rabbi Nachman changed the pshat in the statement of Rabbi Zeira. According to the Rashbam, Rabbi Zeira was saying, look, I came to Eretz Yisrael, I changed my mind. And that's called Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkim. Sometimes you come to Eretz Yisrael and you understand things. Is that a reason to go to Eretz Yisrael? Avada not. Along comes Rav Nachman of Bratslav, and he says, you have to understand what Rav Zera meant. According to the Rashbam, he was talking about himself. But just to talk about himself, it wouldn't be in the Gemara. If it's in the Gemara, it's in the Gemara because it has some greater truth to bequeath to us. So what's the greater truth? That Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkim, Avira that somehow, since God is always looking at Eretz Yisrael, if I'm in Eretz Yisrael, it's to my advantage. It's to my academic, intellectual advantage. Okay, that's what Rav Nachman of Bratslav says. Now there's one more thing I want to say. If you look at... okay, are we okay? I'm going to tell you. What?
Why did he leave?
Who's he? Rav Nachman. If you know, write the book.
You did write the book,
and
it seems to me you said...
Who wrote the book? I don't know. I think it's
well,
more...
I mean, he wrote the book based on what he used to travel around with him.
Who? You mean the Sipur Aran?
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't say. Devarim Perek Gimel Pasuk Kav Zayin. You see page 2? Now, I want to just ask you a question. This business about God looking at Eretz Yisrael, Einei Hashem Elokecha Tamid, when exactly did that start? Well, it's not reasonable to say that it was there when the Shiva Amamin were there. It started when we got there. When exactly did it start? Like after 7 years of conquest, after another 7 years of dividing up the land and planting things, after another 7 years, 21 years, they started doing mitzvot atlot ba'aretz. When exactly did God start looking carefully? Let me ask you another question. You remember that Moshe Rabbeinu went to God in last week's Pasha, and asked for a reprieve. And it's always bothered me that Moshe Rabbeinu never fought a losing cause. You know, after the Chet HaEgel, you'd have thought that Moshe Rabbeinu would give up, but he obviously knew that he would be successful. He pressed on then God would be forgiving. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu knew. Now, how come Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that God would not forgive him or let him into Eretz Yisrael? How come he pleaded with God? I mean, he was on a certain level, like you go to some lawyers with certain kinds of cases and they'll tell you right away. It's not worth the effort. How come Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that it was not worth the effort? And you can ask the question from the other side. And if Moshe Rabbeinu wanted so much to go to Eretz Yisrael, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow him to go to Eretz Yisrael? So I have these different questions. One question is, when did it start? When was Einei Hashem Elokecha in Eretz Yisrael? When did God start watching Eretz Yisrael? Okay, when the Jews got there, not before the Jews got there, because that would be... But when exactly? My second question is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to fight a losing cause about going into Eretz Yisrael? And if Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to fight the losing cause, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow him to enter the land and then die in Eretz Yisrael? And he was 120 years old. So there's a pasuk in Vayetchanan, in last week's parasha. You see at page 2, Dvarim Perek Gimel Pasuk of Zion. You see that? Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, after he pleads for mercy but is rejected, Alei Rosh HaPisgah, V'sai Necha Yama V'tzafona V'teimana U'mizracha, U'ra'ei Be'inecha. Ki lo ta'avor te'yardein hazeh. I'm going to say the pasuk again. Alei Rosh HaPisgah V'sai Necha Yama V'tzifona V'teimana U'mizracha. Now when he is Sa'ei Necha, when Moshe Rabbeinu looks to the east, to the north, to the west, to the south, does he see something? When God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, look in all four directions. So he looks, does he see anything? Mistameh. He probably sees something. He sees whatever he's looking at. So why does the pasuk say Ure'ei be'einecha? What do you mean look with your eyes? What do you mean don't look with his ears? It says in the pasuk Sa'einecha yama v'tzafona v'teimana u'mizracha. Sa'einecha. Doesn't that mean to see? Take a look. Look this way and that way and the other way. And what is Ure'ei Be'einecha? What sort of... Can you look better than you can look? Could you say, take a look and see? What do you mean, take a... What?
Understand. Get the message.
You stand?
No, I understand.
Okay, I can always do that. You know, you can always change a word for another word and make the sentence make sense. But it does say, Einecha. It doesn't say, understandecha. It says, just regular Einecha, and therefore it is a repeat. So now, let's say we thought that, you know, the way the world ran, or runs, in a not very uncomfortable idea, but which is something that the Kabbalists like a lot, is that there's always an interplay between human action and divine response. Not divine action and human response, but human action and divine response. So that, who invented chesed? Who invented chesed? Avram Avinu. Right? What does that mean, that Avram Avinu invented chesed? That in order for God to be filled with chesed towards the created world had to deserve chesed. How do you prove that you deserve chesed? By being, as they say in that language which is neither Hebrew, English, or Yiddish, chesedik. Right? Chesedik. Being chesedik is not just a good way to be, but it makes you a follower of Avraham Avinu. It makes a demand, so to speak, on heaven. Because the people of Chesed inalienably demand Chesed. They demand Chesed from heaven. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not going to Eretz Yisrael? He said, because you still have one job to do that precludes you from going to Eretz Yisrael. And that job is Ure'ei Be'enecha. That's the job. Because the eyes of heaven are a function of the eyes of Moshe Rabbeinu. So God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't go to Eretz Yisrael. Because in this matter, just as God is an outsider, so too are you an outsider. Because you're the man of Ure'ei Be'enecha. You're the person who's going to start it off. You're going to enable the world to be a world in which God is looking at Eretz Yisrael all the time and trying to determine what should come to Eretz Yisrael. And this can only be done, this can only be started by someone who's an outsider, not by someone who's in Eretz Yisrael. And the outsider who was chosen to do that was Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's the Pshat in the Pasuk, Re'ei Be'enecha, and that's the moment that the difference between Eretz Yisrael and the diaspora started, and that's true according to Rav Nachman of Bratslav, whether you have water or you don't have water, the way you agriculture, you don't do agriculture, but the Re'ei Be'enecha is always there, and it has to do with an extra measure of wisdom and understanding that you might have in Eretz Yisrael. Have a good Shabbos.